Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Institute of Leadership and Management's weekly news roundup podcast, where we take a critical look at a number of topical developments from the past few days with a leadership and management theme. I am Rod Jones, content manager at the Institute, and in this podcast, we will be looking at news from the week beginning 29th of July. Joining me to analyse these stories is Kate Cooper, Head of Research, Policy and Standards at the Institute. Hello, Kate.
Hello, Rod.
Our first story looks at new research on the inspiration gap from the job search platform Job Rapido, which finds that more than a third of UK workers plan to leave their companies imminently because their bosses fail to inspire them, listen to them, or provide them with clear career structures. Job Rapido CEO Rob Brewer said that in UK firms, there is clearly a need for bosses, line managers, and HR departments to pay even more attention to the need not only to attract the best talents on the market, but once on board, to look at all the ways to engage and retain them. Kate, how can formal leadership training help to ensure leaders develop the ability to inspire their staff?
Well, Rod, you know we often support the overworked line manager and how much is expected of these people in addition to doing the job that they have to do. And I think this is another example of almost unrealistic expectations. How do you come into work every day and be inspirational with all the connotations that go with that? I think what we're really talking about here, which is what we found, of course, in our January New Year New Job research, is people want to be valued by their managers. They want people to be interested in them. They want people to listen to them, as Bian has said here. And while obviously it's not within the gift of many line managers to offer promotions and career structures, that's a problem that's more organisational wide. Training in listening, training in empathy, training in emotional intelligence, all of those things can really help people feel valued and they can then inspire themselves. And I think also people have to help their managers manage them. What does inspire you, Rod? Your manager will only know if you tell them.
Okay, thank you very much, Kate. Our next story looks at how the Australian software company Atlassian has refreshed its employee reviews in an effort to weed out so-called brilliant jerks or high performers with bad attitudes. In an 18th of July blog post, the firm's global head of talent, Beck Chi, explained that traditional reviews for many people are too little, too late, and not holistic enough. And following an extensive testing period, including a soft launch last year, Atlassian's review system now assesses staff in the context of three pillars: expectation of role, contribution to the team, and demonstration of company values. She clarified that the changes were not about people being shuffled out of Atlassian, but geared towards assessing the totality of each employee's contribution. She said, "We know the next generation are very socially conscious. They have a different set of expectations. They don't want to hear a company say, 'You can bring your whole self to work. We're diverse, we're socially conscious,' and not have that backed up." Kate, what can other leaders learn from the approach that Chi has taken?
The interesting thing for me here is the recognition that technical skills aren't enough. If you're working in organisations with other people, you need a lot more than technical skills. And that isn't only when you're in a management position. It's also when you're part of a team. And sometimes we hear people say, "Oh, great at his job, great at her job, just not a good team player." Well, then, in my view, they're not great at their job. Because so much about working in an organisation is working with other people. And this focus on how they contribute to the team, how they live the values of the organisation, I think it's not only important for young people who, as Beck recognises, are more socially aware, but for everybody. We all want to work in an organisation that feels that the values are also our values and the people around us share those values. Because there's nothing more motivational, and going back to the previous piece, inspirational, than being surrounded by people who share your values and want to achieve the same sorts of things that you do.
Thank you, Kate. Well, our next story continues the theme about the next generation being very socially conscious as we look at the recent Korn Ferry article by Daniel Goleman entitled "Millennials, the Purpose Generation." Goldman quotes the findings of a recent study from the Society for Human Resource Management that found 63% of millennials, essentially workers under 35, said that the primary purpose of businesses should be improving society instead of generating profit. Surveys consistently show that it isn't only millennials that are looking for purpose-driven work, but the importance of this survey and other surveys is that it will be millennials that will drive purpose in the workplace. This is because millennials now make up the largest generation, for example, in the American workforce, and will be number one for some time. And millennials aren't just entry-level employees any longer. Millions of them have now moved into management. And how successful organizations define themselves, inside and out, will depend on what millennials care about. Kate, would you agree with Goldman that it's a safe bet purpose is on track to become a stronger organizational imperative?
What's interesting about any of this observation or commentary is based on generation theory, that of course certain generations will have shared experiences, big events, like everybody knows whether they were born before or after the moon landing, particularly relevant this week. But what we tend to forget, I think, is the idealism, the energy and the enthusiasm of so many young people. And whatever the causes are of the time, it is those causes that they will unite around. So for them, the planet, sustainability, climate change, social awareness, all of these things are very current for that generation. So of course, they're going to become more and more important as those people rise through organizations. Though some research I saw last year was highlighted how many millennials, the thing that they really want is job security, which goes against all the other earlier findings. And of course, as you said, they're all getting older now. They have mortgages and children and responsibilities. And maybe they're losing some of that idealism of youth. But those old causes are going to stay close to their hearts, and that will be with them throughout their working lives.
Thank you very much, Kate. Now, our final story is taken from this week's Harvard Business Review and asks, what do you do when your boss betrays you? The article goes on to say that fewer things hurt more than being betrayed by someone we trust. When that person is our boss, someone who impacts on our career paths and livelihoods, the pain can be even worse. Whether they took credit for a project you sacrificed months to complete, gave a promotion they promised you to someone else, or publicly shamed you for someone else's mistake, the consequences of betrayal are far-reaching. Boss betrayal can hinder our ability to trust others, remain optimistic and resilient during difficult times, and accurately judge complex situations. Our brains often process betrayal as trauma, and we expect that trauma to be repeated. Hurt and guarded, we sometimes engage in behaviours that are meant to be protective but have unintended consequences. When this happens, it's not our boss's behaviour that should concern us, it's our own. Kate, while you may not be able to change your boss, what can you do to keep their bad behaviour from harmfully changing you?
Well, I think there are things you can do that contribute to slightly changing, certainly the relationship you have with your boss. But ultimately, your ability is to change the way you deal with this betrayal. And I think one of the ways is not seeing it as betrayal. If somebody's taking credit for work that you've done, for example, well, that's what they do. Maybe in their experience, they think that's what bosses do. If you are lied to, I think that's quite a different thing. But often people, as it says in this research, inadvertently do things that hurt and upset others. So it's how you deal with those hurts and those upsets that will really make you resilient and able to make it all part of working life. Ultimately, you have to have options. You have to think, this isn't the only job I can do. I've got other people who want me, other places I can go. Keeping your CV up to date, even if you don't use it, is very stress relieving because it keeps reminding you that there are other possibilities. There's an advertising campaign on the UK television at the moment for a recruitment company. There's a woman who has obviously been promised a promotion and it's been given to somebody else, and she gets an alert on her phone that tells her she's got an interview. Her whole body language changes. She smiles. She doesn't mind so much anymore. And that's, I think, what we've all got to do. We've all got to think we have choices, and staying with a boss that betrays, hurts, upsets us is a choice we can make to leave.
Thank you, Kate. Is there anything else you can tell us that's going on in the Institute this week?
I'm so glad you asked me, Rob, because we at the Institute have been nominated for 3 Association Excellence Awards. And I'd like particularly to thank people who listen to our podcast, because that is one of the awards we've been nominated for. Also My Leadership and our journal Edge. So thank you to all our listeners, and watch this space. Hopefully very soon we'll be able to announce that we're the winners.
Thank you, Kate. That's a very positive note to conclude this week's episode. Listeners can find further topical content in the News and Views section on the Institute's website at www.institutelm.com. And thank you once again, Kate, for your insights on these stories.
Thank you, Rod.